Will you please turn to the book of Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1, beginning with verse 1 through verse 5. These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel on this side the Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plain, opposite to Suf, between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahar. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that Jehovah had given him in command to them. After he had smitten Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, who dwelt in Ashtaroth and at Edra, on this side the Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to unfold this law. Chapter 8. Chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. Excuse me, chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 4. Through verse 15. Chapter 6, verse 4, through verse 15. Hear, Israel, Jehovah our God is one Jehovah, and thou shalt love Jehovah thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt impress them on thy sons, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and while thou goest on the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign on their hand, and they shall be for frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and upon thy gates. And it shall be when Jehovah thy God bringeth thee unto the land, which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee, great and good cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of everything good, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and oliveyards, which thou plantest not, and thou shalt have eaten, and shall be full. Then beware, lest thou forget Jehovah, who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear Jehovah thy God, and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the peoples that are round about you. For Jehovah thy God is a jealous God in thy midst, lest the anger of Jehovah thy God be kindled against thee, and he destroy thee from the face of the earth. And then finally, chapter 29. Verse 1. Chapter 29, verse 1. These are the words of the covenant that Jehovah commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant that he made with them in Horeb. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how we praise and thank Thee that Thou hast given us Thy Word, and Thou hast given us Thy Spirit, that through the quickening of Thy Spirit, through the interpreting of Thy Spirit of the Word, that we may touch Thee, the living Word. So we just come today to offer this time to Thee, and ask thee to bless us in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Deuteronomy is the fifth volume of the five-volume book of Moses. It is called Deuteronomy because the word in Greek means second law, or the second law giving, or the second edition of the law. Of course, without amendment. This is the summing up of all the four books that preceded. And actually, it pushes the whole thing to a higher level. Deuteronomy tells us of the Word of God, as Genesis tells us of the will of God, Exodus, the work of God, Leviticus, the way of God, Numbers, the walk of God. And now we find in Deuteronomy the Word of God. Deuteronomy, if you read the first chapter, the fifth verse, on this side of the Jordan in the land of Moab, began Moses to unfold this law. God gave the law to the children of Israel at Mount Sinai. But here you'll find in the plain of Moab, Moses began to unfold, that is to declare, to explain, to expound this law. So in a sense you'll find Deuteronomy does not give us any new revelation. Deuteronomy is the repeating of the law given already by God at Mount Sinai. But there is a difference. At Mount Sinai, we find the law being given. But here you find the law is unfolded, explained, expounded. At Mount Sinai, God spoke. He spoke directly to the people, and he spoke indirectly to the people through Moses. But here in Deuteronomy, you'll find it was Moses who was speaking. But he was just repeating what God has spoken. In a sense, we find Deuteronomy is not only repeating the law that was given before. Actually, in Deuteronomy, we find that it touches upon the spirit of the law. Not only the letter of the law, but through the letter of the law, it goes into the spirit of it. And then out of the spirit of the law, new application and new interpretation. So there is no redundancy there. We find that it is not a new revelation, and yet it is new. It is just as inspired as when the law was first given. Now this principle of Deuteronomy, or Deuteronomic principle, is very important. Now, what is this principle? This principle is the principle of repeating. You know, it is a very important principle in the scripture. We find in Job chapter 33, verse 14, it says, God spoke once and twice, and man perceiveth it not. Then again you'll find in Psalm 62, verse 11, it said, for God has spoken once, and twice I have heard it, that strength belongs to God. And then if you go to the New Testament, you'll find in 2 Peter, how Peter said, what he wrote to them was nothing new. They knew already. But he was just writing to remind them. Before his departure, he was diligent, careful in reminding them these things, that they may recall all these things afterwards. Now, brothers and sisters, God speaks once, and he speaks twice. Why is it so? Not because God needs such repetition. It is because of our hard hearing. You know, if God just speaks once, we may not hear it. And out of his love towards us, he condescends himself to speak again, that we may hear what he wants us to hear. And we do thank God for this repetition. At Mount Sinai, God spoke himself. But here you'll find in Deuteronomy, in the plain of Moab, it was Moses who was speaking. Now, in a sense, you'll find this is true with us today. The principle is there. God has spoken. How do we know? Because we have the Bible in our hands. What is the Word of God? What is the Bible? The Bible is God has spoken. God has spoken in the past to our fathers, through the prophets, in piece and bits, here and there. And now God has spoken in his Son, fully and completely. God has spoken. And all that he has spoken is written down, is put down in the Word, in the Bible that we have. But you know, as we read the Word of God, then the Spirit of God will speak again. He does not speak anything new. There is new revelation outside of the Scripture. What he speaks is within the Scripture. And yet when he speaks again, and when he speaks to you and to me, it gives a new meaning, a new application. It becomes living and becomes very real to our present day. And this is the principle of Deuteronomy. We need to store the Word of God richly in our hearts. And then the Holy Spirit will take hold of these words, unfold them to us, explain them to us, expound them, apply them. So we find, even though there is no new revelation outside of the Scripture, yet so far as we are concerned, it is so new, it is so living. Now that is the principle of Deuteronomy. This book of Deuteronomy is very, very important. Why? We find that Moses has not only spoken these words to the children of Israel, but he wrote them down. And if you read this book of Deuteronomy, you will find that later on, any king that shall ascend to the throne of the nation of Israel, he is commanded to copy that book by himself and to read it every day as long as he lives. And secondly, you find that it is commanded that after the children of Israel enter into the promised land, they are to write these words on stones, great stones, plastered. And then thirdly, you find it is commanded that every seventh year, at the time of the Feast of Tabernacle, this book must be read and explained to the people. So you see how important this book is. Deuteronomy is quoted number of times in the New Testament. Our Lord Jesus testified to the authenticity of this Deuteronomy. We remember in the time when our Lord Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he quoted Deuteronomy. He quoted from chapter 8, he quoted from chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. And again you'll find in Matthew chapter 22, when the Pharisee, the lawyer, tried to tempt him, he said, he quoted Deuteronomy 6 and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And this is the greatest law, commandment of all. So our Lord Jesus quoted the early part of Deuteronomy. And then you find Peter in Acts chapter 3 and Stephen in Acts chapter 8. They both quoted the middle part of Deuteronomy, chapter 18. And then you find the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10. He quoted the latter part of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. So here you'll find in the New Testament, this book is quoted again, again, and again to prove the authenticity of this book. And we do thank God that we have this book in our hands. You know, in a sense, Moses had to do such a thing. Because when they arrived on the plain of Moab, it was a new generation. The old generation that came out of Egypt, they all fell in the wilderness because of their unbelief and of their rebellion. When God gave the law to the children of Israel, those grown-ups, the men, they all died. Only those children, they remained there. So some of them might have heard God speaking to them at Mount Sinai. But many of them were born in the wilderness and they have never heard God speaking. So you find having a new generation before them, there is the great need of repeating the law, of letting them know. And in a sense, you'll find actually this new generation was in a better mood, a better spirit to receive the law. You You know, when the law is given, the people may have heard it, and yet they do not quite understand it. They do not quite see the significance of it. But now at the plain of Moab, with 38 years of past experiences, they are in a better position to understand the law. You know, brothers and sisters, this is true with us today. We have the Word of God in our hands. But many of these words, we may read them and yet we do not quite understand them. Or they do not make quite that deep impression upon us. Not until we experience something. You know, experience is very necessary to understanding. It helps us to understand what God has spoken. Without experience, you do not have any precedent to cite. And therefore, it is hard to understand. But when you have experiences behind you, then with the experiences, you go back to the Word of God and you find the Word of God is open up. And that is true with us today. It takes some experience for us to understand certain Word of God. And furthermore, you'll find when the children of Israel were at Mount Sinai, they just came out of Egypt. They haven't seen Canaan yet. But now at the plain of Moab, they were at the border of the promised land. In other words, they have Canaan in view. And that enabled to understand the law much better. Because the law had much to do with the land. And brothers and sisters, I believe this is true with us today. If we see the land, if we have the land in view, if we see the eternal purpose of God, if we see the ultimate destiny, then, brothers and sisters, it enables us to understand the Word in a much better way. Oftentimes we read the Word of God and we do not understand. Why? Because we do not see the land. We do not see the ultimate purpose of God. When you see the ultimate purpose of God, then the whole Bible is opened up. So you find that this new generation actually is in a much better position to understand the law. Because the law is in relation to the land. Now, brothers and sisters, hopefully we are a new generation. I mentioned before that a new generation is not necessarily physically so. We may be renewed by the Spirit of God, and thus we become a new generation before God. We may have the Spirit of Caleb and Joshua. Believing spirit instead of an unbelieving spirit. And I do believe today we are in a much better position to understand the Word of God. We have some experiences in the past that can show light upon the Word of God. And we have the land in view. Now in the book of Deuteronomy, you find the land is very much in view. You know, in Numbers, the wilderness is in view. They are in the wilderness. But in Deuteronomy, even though they have not yet gone into the land, but everything is related to the land. The law is given that they may be able to enter into the promised land and to remain there. The land is very important. Now, in this book of Deuteronomy, you find three portions where the land is being described. They haven't been in the land yet, and yet the Holy Spirit describes the land to them in order to stir their hearts to be anxious of entering into the land. Now, these three places are in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10, 11, and it shall be when Jehovah thy God bringeth thee into the land which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and good cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of everything good which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive yards which thou plantest not, and thou shalt have eaten and shall be full. Now, that's the first description. The second description is in chapter 8, verse 7 through verse 9. For Jehovah thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of water brooks, of springs, and of deep waters, that gush forth in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, where thou shalt lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose mountains thou shalt dig copper. And the third description is found in chapter 11. Verse 10 through verse 15. For the land whither thou enterest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest with thy foot, as a garden of herbs, but the land whereunto ye are passing over to possess it is a land of mountains and valleys, which drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which Jehovah thy God careth for. The eyes of Jehovah thy God are constantly upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command thee this day, to love Jehovah thou your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give rain to your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, and thou shalt gather in thy corn and thy new wine and thine oil, and I will give grass in thy field for thy cattle, and thou shalt eat and be full. So you'll find that this land that God has promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob is a very good land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. It is a land of plenty, of abundance. It is a land that everything is already prepared. Cities already built. Houses already filled with good things. Wells already dug. And vineyards and olive yards already planted. It is a land full of water brooks, of streams, of springs. It is a land with copper and iron. It is a land with corn, with wheat, with barley, with all these good things, and with pomegranates and figs and olives and all these things. And it is a land that the eyes of the Lord is constantly upon it, and rain upon it with early rain and latter rain. In other words, it is a land of such abundance that they can enjoy and be full. Now that is the land. Who does not want it? Brothers and sisters, what is our land? We have a land that God has promised to us. It is even better than the land of Canaan, much better. We have a land a land that everything is prepared for us. We do not need to dig the well. We do not need to build a house. We do not need to plant a vineyard. God has done it all for us. We have a land that is full of water of all kinds. We have a land that is plenty. A land that the eyes of God is constantly upon. And of course, we know who that land is. Our Lord Jesus. You know, our Lord Jesus is that land. In Him, God has provided everything for us. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Him bodily, and ye are complete in Him. As if God said, now, you do not need to do anything. I have done it all. I have prepared everything for you in Christ Jesus. And there you'll find every expression, every activities of the Holy Spirit is there. Whether it is like the water brooks, quiet, that you may drink and rest, or whether it is like the spring that's springing for the water, all the rivers, everything is there. All the activities of the Holy Spirit are in Christ Jesus. And you'll find our Lord Jesus is not only our food, all kinds of food, to meet all kinds of need, but He is also our strength, our iron, and our copper. And surely the eyes of God is upon our Lord. And if we love Him, if we serve Him, then we will have no lack of any kind. And we shall be full. In other words, the fullness of life. What is the church? The church is the body of Christ. The fullness of Him who fills all and in all. How good is our land. Brothers and sisters, are we anxious to get in? Are we anxious to explore? Are we anxious to enjoy everything that is in Christ? Thank God we are in Christ. We are in the land. For of God are ye in Christ Jesus. And God has made Him our wisdom, righteousness and holiness and redemption. How we need to treasure our land, our Lord Jesus. Now this book of Deuteronomy are the words spoken by Moses on the plain of Moab by the side of the River Jordan. The time that is covered by this book is approximately 2 months. Because if you compare Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 3 with Joshua chapter 4 verse 19, then you'll find that it is approximately 2 months time. So within these 2 months time, you'll find Moses expounded, unfolded the law, the word, to the children of Israel, to that new generation. The whole book of Deuteronomy is very easily divided into three parts, according to the three discourses that Moses gave to the children of Israel. From chapter 1 to chapter 4, is the first discourse. He spoke these words. It is historical. In other words, here you'll find Moses went back to past history. He began with Mount Sinai. And he went over with the children of Israel through the wilderness until the time they came to the plain of Moab. Now this historical review is very, very important. Why? Because it gives the people a right attitude. You know, it is important to remember. So in other words, the emphasis in the first discourse is to remember, to recall. Moses helped the children of Israel to recall what had gone before, lest they forgot. He reminded them. He reminded them that they were not a great people. They were not a good people. Actually, they were stiff-necked and rebellious people. And the reason why God delivered them out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and God brought them through the wilderness and dispossessed their enemies, to give them their possession, was not because of their greatness, not because of their power. Actually, they were the smallest, the weakest. Their enemies were much mightier and powerful than they were, greater than they were. But the reason why they were now at the plain of Moab, waiting to enter into the promised land, is not because of what they are. It is because of the love of God. Moses said, because God loved you, therefore he did all these things to you. Now remember this. You are an unfaithful people. You rebel against God again and again. You have no right. But it is the love of God, it is the faithfulness of God that brings you to this point. And he wants the people, he wanted the children of Israel to remember this, to recall it. You know, this will humble them. This will prepare their hearts to receive the word of God with more readiness. And in a sense, brothers and sisters, this is true with us today. We need to remember. We need to remember that today we are what we are. It is not because of our greatness. It is not because of our goodness. As a matter of fact, we are a stiff-necked and rebellious people. We have been unfaithful all along. But thank God, He loved us. He loved us not because we are loving. We are lovable. We are not. As a matter of fact, our enemies are greater and mightier than we are. And yet God, in His love towards us, He has delivered us out of the world. He has dispossessed our enemies. And He has given us the land, everything that we need. Brothers and sisters, we are full, but beware, lest we are full and we forget. You know, the children of Israel, unfortunately, when they were filled, they forgot. They forgot God. They began to go their own ways as if they got them by themselves. And they departed from God. They began to even worship false gods, and the result was God's discipline came upon them. So, brothers and sisters, we feel it is very important. Deuteronomy is important to us. Even in this historical part, how we need the Holy Spirit to remind us again and again of the love of God in Christ Jesus. That we are what we are today by the grace of God. And this should always humble us. You know, the greatest danger with God's people is when they are blessed by God, then they become proud. And unfortunately, you find this happens all the time. When we are in affliction, we humble ourselves. But when we are in prosperity, we become arrogant. We think that we get everything because we are good. We are better than everybody else. And whenever that kind of pride enters into our heart, beware. The next step is fall. Pride goes before a fall. We need to recall the goodness of God. We need to remember our unfaithfulness. Not to discourage us, but to humble us. Humility is the spirit of the Lamb. We need a spirit of humility. And only in the spirit of humility we are ready to receive, to hear what God has to say to us. What the Spirit of God has to say to His church. Then you find the second part of Deuteronomy is from chapter 5 through chapter 28. This is legislative. In other words, there in these chapters, Moses repeated the law of God that was given at Mount Sinai. And he brought them into the spirit of it, and he applied it in a new way. First, he repeated the Ten Commandments in chapter 5. And then from chapter 6 onward, he began to break up. Well, he began to take up these Ten Commandments, sum them up into the commandment, and then he began to break them up and apply them with new interpretation and new applications. Now this is what the middle part, the second part of the book of Deuteronomy is. In this part, we would like to emphasize two things. Number one, you find when Moses began to unfold the law to the children of Israel, again and again he said, "Hear, O Israel, hear." Hearing is very, very important. The old generation, they heard, and yet they did not hear. Why? Because their heart was hardened. Now here is a new generation. So Moses said, "Now hear, O Israel, hear what God is going to say to you." The Spirit of God interpreted and said, the Holy Spirit says, if today you hear His voice, harden not your heart. As in the day of provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. In other words, you'll find the reason why the old generation did not hear. It wasn't because primarily because of their ears, is because of their heart. You know, our heart and our ear are connected. It is true we use our ear to hear, but if your heart is not there, you may not hear it. And this is true. If our heart is hardened, no matter how loud the word may be, it may be like thunders, but you hear nothing. So the issue is the heart. You see, God always goes back to the heart. If the heart is hardened, then your ear is filled with oil, with fat. You cannot hear. How we need a circumcised heart. God promised the children of Israel one day He will circumcise their heart. You know, our heart needs to be circumcised. What does it mean? It simply means this. That our natural, fleshly, selfish will of ours needs to be taken away and crucified on the cross. That our heart may be tender, soft, willing, ready, humble to hear what God has to say. Our greatest problem is our heart. We need to have a circumcised heart. Oh, that the Lord will circumcise our heart. Take away the fat in our heart. Take away that which covers our heart. Take away the unbelief, the stubbornness, our own selfish will. Our pride. Take away that from our heart and make our heart tender and soft and willing and ready and humble to receive what God has to say. And when the heart is softened, then the ear hears. The most important thing is to hear what God has to say. And then secondly, you'll find in this section, Moses, he brought the children of Israel from the letter of the law to the spirit of it. There he tells them, he said, "Hear, O Israel, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, and with all thy soul." The spirit of the law is love. If you only see the letter of the law, it creates fear. But if you see the spirit of the law, then it creates love. God wants us to love Him because He is love. He wants us to love Him with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our strength. In a sense, if we put it in a New Testament term, we may say He wants us to love Him with all our spirit, with all our soul, and with all our body. In other words, our whole being. to love him. And if the reason why he gives the law is because he loves us. And if we love him, then the law is no longer burdensome. So that is the secret. And thank God you'll find that one day God said, I will circumcise your heart and cause you to love me. God will do that. And in a very real sense, God has already done it to us. Because he has taken away from us that stony heart. And he has given us a heart of flesh. He has given us a new covenant. And in that new covenant, he has caused us to love him. We love him because he first loved us. So to us today, you'll find that his commandment is no longer burdensome. Just like our Lord Jesus when he was on earth. He said, Lo, I come to do thy will. Thy law is inscribed upon my heart. It is the delight of my heart. I love to do it. And then thirdly, the third part, it is from chapter 29 through chapter 34. Now that part is prophetic. In that part you find the major point is the covenant. The covenant. You know, God made a covenant with the new generation at the plain of Moab by the side of River Jordan. It was extra to the covenant made at Mount Sinai. Now let us remember this. At Mount Sinai, God made a covenant with the children of Israel. It is the Sinaitic covenant. It is the covenant of law. Now here by the side of the plain of Moab, God made another covenant in addition to the covenant made at Mount Sinai. It is a Moabic covenant. It is a covenant of law and mercy. The law is still there. It is repeated. But the people are now under the mercy of God. They have already shown their unfaithfulness. They have been disciplined. And the mercy of God has brought the new generation to the border of the promised land. And by his mercy, he was going to bring them into the promised land, but on condition that they obey God. Obedience is the key. So here you'll find the children of Israel. God made another covenant with them. It is a covenant of law and mercy. God demanded obedience from the people. And if they obeyed, then they could enter into the land and possess it and continue to live in it. But if they should disobey, they should break the covenant of law and mercy, then God will discipline them. And yet, when you come to chapter 30, you find God said, I will circumcise your heart. After I've scattered you all over the world, if you turn back to me, I will circumcise your heart that and cause you to love me and to keep my word. And he said, my word is not far from you, You do not need to go to heaven to bring it down, nor do you need to go to the bottom of the earth to bring it up. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart. And we know this is a prophecy of the new covenant. Even in that covenant of law and mercy, God has already promised them the covenant of grace. We find that in Jeremiah chapter 31, God said, one day I will not take their hands and lead them as it was before because they did not obey me. The old covenant was annulled. I will make a new covenant with them. I will put my law into their heart. I will be their God and they will be my people. No one need to teach his neighbors know the Lord. But from the littlest to the oldest, they shall know me in themselves, and I will forgive their sins and will not remember them anymore. The new covenant. The seed of the new covenant is already planted there. You know, with the children of Israel, they are still under the Moabic covenant. The covenant of law and mercy. But today with us, with the church of God, we are already in the new covenant. Because on that night when our Lord Jesus took the cup, he said, this is the cup of the new covenant, sealed by my blood. Drink it, all of you. So, brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus has taken that new covenant and bring it to the church. We today are under the new covenant of grace. He has inscribed His law upon our heart. He causes us to love Him. He enables us to do His will. And He has forgotten and forgiven and forgotten all our iniquities. Thank God for that. But the children of Israel, today, they are still under the Moabic covenant. Law and yet mercy. Mercy and yet law. But thank God one day, when our Lord Jesus shall return, in the millennium, the whole nation of Israel will enter into the covenant of grace that we experience today. And then, of course, after the covenant was made, then God told Moses to sing a song, to write a song, to testify against the children of Israel. And also to testify of the faithfulness of God. God knew what would happen. God knew us so well. He warned us. And yet, He never gave us up. He still promised. He said, I will yet restore them. As God has planned. Because God's purpose never changes. Thank God for that. And then following that is the blessing of Moses, chapter 33. Moses, before he died, he blessed the children of Israel. He blessed every tribe. You know, Jacob, when he died, he blessed his sons too. But these two blessings are different. They're all prophetic, but they are different. With Jacob, he blessed them as he saw what would happen to them at the end of days, to each of his sons. But with Moses, he blessed them as he saw the sovereign grace of God, assignment, arrangement of God, concerning these 12 tribes in the land. What will happen to them in the land. They were there, representing God's chosen people, being a testimony to the greatness of God. Now, that is the blessing of Moses. And thank God, the song warns us, but the blessing encourages us. So today we thank God. We know that even though we are unfaithful, and yet our God, He is so faithful. And whatever He has planned, He will bring it to pass. Therefore, it behooves us to cooperate with Him and to obey. Now, brothers and sisters, today, to obey is not hard. Why? Because we have the life of the obedient Son in us. Now, it is true, for us to obey, it is difficult. It seems that within us, that is in our flesh, there is always a rebellion there. We rebel against anything, everything that is of God. Now that is human nature. But thank God we have the life of the Son in us. And the life of the Son is a life of obedience. He learned, though he were Son, yet he learned obedience to the things which he has suffered, that he may become the leader of eternal salvation to us who believe. So, brothers and sisters, thank God we have the obedient life of the Son in us. And it is not hard for us to obey. If we love God, obedience is a pleasure, a delight. And this is Deuteronomy. So Deuteronomy actually sums up all the four preceding books and push it up to a higher level, that we may learn to hear Him, to love Him, and to obey Him, that we may enjoy the land. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank Thee that Thou hast not only promised us the good land, but Thou hast already given it to us, even Thy beloved Son. We do praise and thank Thee that we are in Him, and He is in us. Lord, do enable us to hear Him, to love Him, and to obey Him, that we may remain in Him, that we may enjoy Him to the fullest. And it is all to be a testimony to Thee and a glory to Thy name. Lord, we acknowledge that we are unfaithful, stiff-necked, rebellious, but Thou art faithful, loving, trustworthy, and good. And what Thou hast purposed, Thou wilt perform it to the glory of God. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.